will usher in the March 14, 2008 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're online with another edition of the Rain Report, the weekly ham radio audio magazine of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. This week we'll transport ourselves to 1985 to listen to a good bedtime story. 23 years ago, Hap Holly, KC9RP, was the producer of a weekly program in the Chicago area called the Bear Information Service. This week, we bring you a piece he produced for the BIS in 1985. It features a former director of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, years before he served in that capacity. To tell the story, here's Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP.
Ever wondered what it would be like to be a 2-meter frequency coordinator or president of a repeater council that presides over 800 amateur repeaters in the New York City area? Well, Steve Mendelson, WA2DHF, has been president of TSARC, the Tri-State Amateur Repeater Council, which handles coordination for New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Well, here's a story that Steve relayed some time back that begins innocently enough but turns into a coordination nightmare. It begins with that beloved phrase,
"Once upon a time, a very active club called the Hall of Science Amateur Radio Club in Queens decided that they were going to have a repeater."
Now, that's not a bad intro to a good bedtime story. Here's Steve to tell you just how the story really started some 5 years ago with a phone call he received that began,
"Mr. Mendelson, this is so-and-so representing the Hall of Science. What frequency do you want us to put the repeater we're about to purchase on?" And I said to him, "There are no 2-meter frequencies." And he said, "You don't understand, Mr. Mendelson. This is the Hall of Science. We are the club in the metro New York area. Well, the club, as it comes round, has about 35 members, the mighty Hall of Science, as they call themselves on the air. The fact of the matter is that most of the other clubs around have anywhere from 300 to 500 members. But they have this psychology that they were the big club, and that they were going to swing this mighty weight, and that everybody would fall to their knees. I told them there were no frequencies. I said, if you want to send us a letter, we'll put you on the list." So they sent us a letter requesting a 2-meter frequency, and I put them on the list. 6 months later, I get a call from the same individual. "We're about to purchase the repeater. We have the funds together. What frequency do we go on?" And I said to him, "Sir, there's still no frequencies." He says to me, "I have gone through the spectrum with a scanner, and I know there are frequencies that I can't key up." I asked him how the hell he keyed anything up with a scanner. His answer was, "Well, I've got a 10-watt radio here with a antenna." I said, "What kind of antenna?" "Oh, I've got a quarter-wave whip on an air conditioner." Now, mind you, this is how the man tried to find repeaters. Anyway, he went ahead and told his club that they could put a repeater right in between 145.13 and 145.15. They went out and they bought a spectrum repeater. They put the repeater on, knowing nothing about repeaters, and needless to say, they caused immediate havoc with the existing repeaters. Consequently, I sent them a letter, and I said, "Gentlemen, you're causing interference. We have letters of complaint from the repeaters you're interfering with. We're going to the commission." So they took the repeater off the air. The next thing that happened was they scanned the frequencies, and they found that there was a frequency of 145.43, and there was nobody on it, according to them. Well, the nobody that wasn't on it was somebody that had had his repeater burnt out by a lightning strike, had sent us a telegram to tell us that it was going to be off the air for 3 weeks, and these guys, in the meanwhile, went out and bought crystals and set up on his frequency. He goes back on the air. They're 5 miles apart, the two repeaters. He goes back on the air. They cause more problems. More letters to TSARC, another letter to the Hall of Science. They take that, the repeater, off of 145.43. Now they set up on 145.30. They are interfering with two repeaters on 145.29 and two repeaters on 145.31. So they've gone from interfering with two people on a channel to 4 people on 2 channels. At this point, I called the New York office of the commission and I said, "Gentlemen, you've got to help us. The New York office of the commission said, we've only got 4 engineers, we can't do anything. So I said, well, what happens if you're asked to by Washington? And they said, yeah, then we can do something. So I made some calls to the FCC in Washington, and over a period of about 3/4 of a year, a lot of talking was done. The first thing that happened was I got a letter, which has become somewhat either famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, from Jim McKinney, then the head of the Private Radio Bureau, in which he said to me that based on the fact that the Hall of Science repeater was not listed in the ARRL directory, more importantly, based on the fact that the Hall of Science repeater was not a coordinated repeater in the TSARC database, therefore, the Hall of Science repeater obviously was causing interference to 4 existing repeaters, and that I was authorized to tell the Hall of Science that the FCC would take action if they did not remove their repeater. A copy of the letter went out to the Hall of Science. The Hall of Science then told ARRL, TSARC, and the FCC to stick it. That was what can honestly be called a really dumb mistake. You don't tell the Federal Communications Commission to mind their own business. An investigation was ordered by the chief of the Field Operations Bureau in Washington. The New York office of the FCC did an investigation, and a very thorough one. They inspected the site. They issued notices of violations to the Hall of Science. And the Hall of Science basically said, well, we're not going to interfere anymore because we're going to lower our power. They could lower the power all they want. The bottom line was they still interfered. So consequently, they went from 100 watts down to 50 watts. So they were still interfering. Finally, I made another call to Washington, and Elliot Hours, the chief of the Field Operations Bureau, wrote a letter to the Hall of Science in which he said, gentlemen, if you do not remove your repeater, which is causing interference from the air, one, we will take away the license of the club station. Two, we would like to have a list of all of the people who participated in the decision to keep the repeater on the air. We will then take revocation proceedings against those people. When the Hall of Science letter was finally written by the FCC, it was the first step that the commission took to give repeater councils the kind of muscle that they need to enforce the decisions. But the FCC, and here I refer specifically to Bob Fusner and Ray Kowalski of the commission, the head of the Private Radio Bureau, the head of the Special Services Bureau, these two gentlemen are probably two of the best stewards that the FCC has had in the amateur service, probably since the existence of the Bureau. They care, and they care passionately for amateur radio, even though they are not hams themselves. And they are very, very, very good for amateur radio.
And thus ends this bedtime story from Steve Mendelson, WA2DHF, president of TSART, the Tri-State Amateur Repeater Council. Now, if you had some designs upon being a metropolitan frequency coordinator, perhaps this story changed your mind. Well, it would change mine too.
That was Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, with a program he produced in 1985 for the Bear Information Service, a weekly infonet he produced from 1984 to 1989 in the greater Chicago area. The Rain Report has been subsidized the past 2 weeks by the 79-year-young Egyptian Radio Club of Greater St. Louis, Missouri. FYI, the Egyptian 2008 Hamfest will be held Sunday, June 8th. There will be plenty of vendors and flea market surprises waiting to be discovered. More information is available at their website, www.w9aiu.org. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with Rain, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.